work globally as a speaker, retreat facilitator, medium, and mentor. My mission is to awaken and realign you back to your magnificence, your power, and infinite potential. As the founder of the Rise with Love philosophy, I'm honored to share wisdom that will create the expansion of joy, abundance, love, and freedom to flow into your life. If you're ready, I want to hear you say yes, because the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to rise with love. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode. As you rise with love, you'll put out many desires to the universe, and it's amazing how those desires show up in your life. This is exactly how I came across my special guest for today's episode. I'd been putting out to the universe that I really wanted an amazing astrologer to interview for all of you. And then my mum sent me this incredible YouTube video that she had recently done with an amazing interviewer. And I was like, oh my gosh, universe, thank you so much. She is perfect. So I'm so excited. You will love Sonia Francis, astrologer coach. Her mission is to empower people by providing a deeper understanding of themselves so they can come from a place of love rather than fear. She aims to support people in fulfilling their potential and aligning with their soul's purpose. To say I am excited is an understatement. So I'm so glad that the stars aligned for us to get this time together, Sonia.
Yes, me too. Fantastic.
Oh my gosh. I just want the audience to kind of understand that the universe always is listening. And sometimes we kind of focus on how things are going to happen, but when we just allow, then the package arrives in the most beautiful way. And so thank you for being an incredible package of my desire from the universe. I'm so excited. One of the things that I would love for you to kind of explain for us is, what is astrology? Like, what is this whole thing with stars and planets and whatever else?
Yes, that's a really great question. And obviously for most people, when they hear astrology, they probably think of horoscopes and things that they read in like magazines or newspapers, you know, or online nowadays, of course. But astrology is such a complex subject and it's so big. And it's really something like if you really get into it, you become sort of like immersed in it and you really learn for the rest of your life what it is really all about. There's so much to understand and so much to learn because you're really talking about the whole solar system of our universe, right? And you're talking about how the planets align at the time of your birth and how that creates a map of your life potential. And astrology really, I would say, is the interpretation of those symbols and of that map that gets created on the day you were born. And to, by interpreting these symbols, to really give you a chance to understand yourself more fully, to understand your energy body more fully, and how you want to best align yourself with your own energy body, right? And I mean, obviously, most of us know who we are and to a certain degree, but there is so much that goes on in our early childhood in terms of our conditioning and in terms of like how we interact with society and what we're being taught by society, that sometimes there are certain things about ourselves that get either squashed or suppressed, or that get sort of like maybe overemphasized or underemphasized. So the chart, the astrology chart, can really show us and help us to reintegrate certain parts of ourselves that have been, you know, pushed to the side or that have not been, you know, affirmed for us as children, right? So that with the help of astrology, you can really align yourself or realign yourself with yourself in a much deeper way. And it also helps with day-to-day stuff, right? Because on a daily basis, of course, the planets do move every day, right? And so we get a chance to, via the tool of astrology, we get a chance to see what are the energies doing every day out there and how does that relate to me and how does it impact me and how can I align myself with that? Right? So it's a fantastic tool, really. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. And I'd love for you to, because I think for a lot of people, their first taste of astrology is horoscopes, right? And you can read a horoscope and you can go, oh yeah, that can apply, doesn't apply. So what is really the difference between horoscopes and astrology? Can you just delve into that myth a little bit for us?
Yes. So I would say the biggest difference is that horoscopes are based on the sun signs only, right? So you read about the sun in Gemini, let's say, or the sun in Aries, or the sun in Leo, or whatever, right? So that's what you read in a horoscope. What you read in an astrology reading, if you do a proper reading with an astrologer, is they will make a picture of your whole chart as it was when you were born, so how all of the planets were aligned, not just the sun. So the sun only shows us where the sun was at the time of your birth in terms of your month, right? So each month the sun goes into a different sign. But then there is 10 other planets, right? Then there is Mercury, there's Venus, there's Mars, there's Jupiter, there's Saturn, there's Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, right? And then there's asteroids and a lot of bodies out there in the universe, right? And it's almost like you have to think of it this way, like these bodies out there in the universe, they're representing energies within ourselves because the outer universe is just a reflection of your own inner universe, right? Like if you think about each cell in your body is like a little universe in a sense, which means that your whole physical body inhabits a billion cells, right? Or more, a trillion, I don't know how many. But each one of those cells has a little universe in it, which means that you are really vibrating and resonating very much with everything that goes on out there as well, right? There's a resonance or a connection. And when you do a chart reading with someone, you're not just looking at the sun sign, you're looking at all the planets, which gives you a very complex picture of a person and a complex picture of why they're here in this physical body and why they're here, what they're wanting to fulfill, you know, because I personally believe that on a soul level, we choose a particular time and place to be born into so that we carry the energies of that moment, and those energies then represent what we're here to fulfill and why we came here, right?
I so agree with you. And, you know, having had 3 kids and, you know, you can try all the tricks in the books and they're going to come when they want to come, right? Because it's got to mean something to that particular child. So I kind of, to maybe explain it, it would be like knowing somebody, like horoscopes could be like knowing somebody, but only knowing what their favorite color is and that's it. And not knowing the rest of them. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So
yeah, horoscopes are just very limiting.
So there's so much more out there. And also something that I want to ask, because you can do an astrology chart for yourself, but also like the planet and, you know, you're often hearing like Mercury's in retrograde and all of that kind of stuff. So can you explain for us what that all means as well?
Yes. So with astrology, what you can do is you can do a chart reading for a person. Right? You just make their natal chart, their birth chart from the time they were born. You can also look to see how the planets are currently traveling in the sky, you know, via like a calendar, like an astrological calendar that shows you where the planetary movements are. And of course, planets have cycles, right? And like a Mercury retrograde, for example, would be from the perspective of the Earth looking out into the sky. What we can see sometimes is that it appears as though a planet slows down, comes to a halt, and then it appears as though the planet moves retrograde, moves backwards, then slows down again, comes to a halt again, and then starts to move forward again. And that happens from our perspective because of the way the ecliptical is around the sun, right? The way the orbit is, I should say, around the sun. And so energetically speaking, what that means for us as the people on the planet is that we're feeling something different, right? We're experiencing something different because of this optical illusion, in a sense. It's an optical illusion, actually, because the planets do not actually move backwards. But because it appears that way from the standpoint of the Earth, energetically, there is a shift within us, right? And a retrograde phase, for example, always indicates the need to balance out the masculine and the feminine energy. So it indicates a needing to go within and getting more connected to the feminine processing of that energy rather than the active initiating something with that energy, right? Which would be more the masculine side of things. And that happens when the planet is direct and moves straight forward. But when the planet moves retrograde, there's more of a processing of that energy, which is more of an internal connection and more of an intuitive process.
This kind of stuff, Sonia, is just so fascinating. Yes. Kind of like, why do they not teach this stuff in school as part of science? Or, you know, instead of cutting up frogs, right? It's like, why are we not taught this as part of our, you know, understanding of who we are? I mean, this stuff is so important, understanding our own energy. And so yes. I'm just like, wow, schooling system, let's bring in astrology as part of the curriculum, right? Yes. And how did astrology change your life? Like, how did it kind of come about? And now it's who you are, really. It's, you know, it's like your way of serving humanity. How did that kind of all happen?
Oh my God, I could talk for an hour just on that, but just to keep it brief, I mean, when I was 19, I read a book about Buddhism and something got mentioned in the book about astrology. It referenced something like as above, so below, you know, that everything is, the outer world is always a reflection of the inner world and that astrology is a tool for us to learn about that. And so I got very interested in that because it was very fascinating to me. And so I started reading astrology books. And then when I moved to New York in 1994, I started taking courses in New York because there's a lot of astrology conferences there and a lot of people that were sort of into that. Because, you know, New York is such a metropolitan area if you want to find something, anything's possible, right? And so I found a bunch of mentors there and I did a lot of learning for a long, long time because, first of all, because it was more of a hobby in the beginning. And then it really changed my life because when I got my first astrology reading online, like actually, no, not online, that was before the internet, somebody sent me a reading via mail. You know, and when I first read my whole chart, you know, all of my planets, where they are in my chart, it was such a relief because there are certain placements in my chart that you could call contradictory. And when I read about that, I was like, whew, okay, I'm normal. Like, that's okay. Like, I am that way, you know, like there's nothing wrong with me, you know. When I read that, I was like, oh, this is great. Because like I have Venus and Gemini, for example, and that is such a, it's a placement where you constantly feel like you're a little bit like you're this and you're that, or you want this and then you want something else. And you constantly want the other side of the river, or you want something that's greener, or, you know, you always feel a little bit split, you know, because it's Gemini, right? So you feel a little bit split between two sides. Everything is in duality, it rises in duality. So I always felt a little bit like there's something a little bit wrong with me, you know, because I can't like decide on just one thing, or I can't just go with one thing. I always want something else too. So when I read that, I just was such a relief. I was like, oh, it's okay for me to be that way. That's just who I am, right? So in that way, it was a huge shift for me to just accept myself more for who I am. But then also, you know, learning for such a long time about astrology and going in so much depth into all the different aspects of it, I just felt like, you know, this is such a great tool to support people in being who they are, you know? And that was just, I just got so passionate about that.
You can tell your face and your energy is just it's so amazing to just, I could just watch you just talk about it. I'm so mesmerized. I hear people say, for example, that they can get an astrology chat every year, or they get an astrology chat for their business and all sorts of things. So I know you mentioned that we can get one from like when we're born. So can you explain for us why having maybe like your chat done every year could be beneficial? Is it even something we should do? Should we get one for our business? Like,
great. That's such a great question. Yeah. And I get questions like this all the time from my clients as well. I mean, you probably want to start with just understanding your own birth chart, because that's a great way to start, to just understand yourself and your life path and your life purpose and all that stuff, right? But then the other thing that's also beneficial to do is to just see, you know, what's coming up for the next 6 months, what's coming up for the next year, you know, do like a birthday reading for the whole year, or do like a follow-up reading to the birth chart reading, which shows you what's coming up for the next 6 months or so. Because when we look at the transits in relationship to the natal chart, or you can also look at progressions which show how the birth chart evolves over time, and that in relationship to your birth chart, when we look at those things, what we can see is, you know, where you're at psychologically, emotionally, where you're at in terms of your own physical development and spiritual development and all those things. And it can tell you a lot about where you're going next as well, right? So I don't like to make hard predictions for people, because I believe that people have free will, and I believe that everybody creates their own reality. And I think it's very important that people feel empowered to create their own reality and not feel like that I'm the one telling them what's going to happen. I find that very disempowering. But what I do find is really helpful and supportive is to help people understand where they're at energetically speaking, and what the transits are trying to teach them energetically speaking, so that they can make better choices, more informed choices, and can also feel a little bit more relieved. Like if they're going through like a challenging time or a challenging transit where things are a little bit, you know, upsy-turvy, like we're experiencing that right now, for example, right? Knowing what the planets are doing can be such a relief, because you can say, oh, there's nothing wrong with me per se. It's just something I'm going through because I need to get to the next place of my own evolution, or I need to explore something different about myself, or I'm being challenged here right now so that I can get stronger and better at what I'm doing, right? And as far as like a chart for our business goes, for example, that's very valuable too, because you can take a look at when is a good time to start a business, right? When is a good time to, there's certain things that you can't really plan, like when is a good time to have a child, or when is a good time to meet your loved one, you know, your perfect partner. That's something that I think is really something that just has a lot to do with soul contracts. And soul contracts is not necessarily something you can exactly predict. There's energy pockets that might be predictable in terms of like what is possible during a certain energy pocket. But I think soul contracts are really already done, and you know, it's just something that just is already being, you know, connected or is already being contracted. So it's not something that I can necessarily predict as an astrologer, but I can definitely support people with certain projects, with certain things that they want to align themselves with. If they have something that they want to create, you know, there's timing with things, and that's something I can help with for sure.
I love that you say that, you know, an astrology chat is there to empower, right? Because, you know, working as an intuitive, as a medium, and all the things that I do, it's like people sometimes just want to know like the date, when am I going to meet this man? Or, and it's like, sometimes just that takes away the fun of it, you know, just allow it to unfold, use this information to create the vision or to create the momentum, and just allow yourself to have that free will to make the decision that is for your highest good, or all of that. So I love that as an astrologer, you still feel people have free will, which is amazing. I really commend you on that, because I don't know if that's like a general astrologer feeling or not, but I'm loving to hear that.
I think there are different thoughts in astrology. I think that there is like Eastern astrology and Western astrology, for example. And I generally speaking, I think that most Eastern astrologers are a little bit more geared towards fate and that everything is fated, that you don't have free will. Whereas Western astrologers are a little bit more geared towards that there is free will and that you can plan your life. I think the truth probably lies somewhere in between, that, you know, that there is free will and that there's also certain things that are fated, you know, like certain soul contracts.
Yeah, predestined things.
Right, exactly. So, but I do think that it's important to give people the power to make their own choices, you know, because when you give away your power to an astrologer or to a medium or to somebody who can read something for you, that's not really in your best and highest interest now, is it? You know, because it is important that you feel that you are co-creating, you know, like you can ask for support, right? You can ask for support from someone like you and me, right? But to give your power away completely to that person is not recommended, you know, and I feel very strongly about that. And you know, there's always a co-creation that happens between you and other people, between you and your higher self, you know, between you and angels or whatever it is that you believe in, right? But there's, I think there's a co-creative process, but you are still always involved. You yourself are always involved in that co-creative process.
Amen, sister. I totally agree. I always say to my clients, we're co-creating this experience together, right? Yeah. And it's like, it's a co-creation. Oh my gosh. I think I was in love with you before, but I think I might be even more in love with you now, right? I'd love for you to, because I know that you're so, like, every day you're sharing, you know, what's happening with the stars and the planets and all of that kind of stuff. So I know you're pretty understanding. A lot of people are feeling unsure about the future. They're kind of like, what's it going to look like? How's it going to feel? I kind of understand we're going to the 5D ascension. Is that kind of your language as well, the 5D ascension?
I understand that language. It's not how I personally phrase it, but yes, I there's definitely, I would say from my personal expression, I would say we are going through a transition phase right now. And we're experiencing a lot of new cycles, planetary cycles that are happening in 2020. And whenever there's that many cycles that come together and start a new, especially long-term cycles like the ones we're experiencing this year, they are 35-year cycles, 20-year cycles, 14-year cycles. So they're really big cycles. We're not talking about just a year or 2-year cycles, right? We're talking about long-term cycles. When that happens, usually there is a shift that happens on a collective level. And as we can see with what's currently going on, we are in a place where we're being, I wouldn't say forced, but we're being invited to shift, right? There's an invitation to create a collective shift together. And I think we can all feel that on some level, right? Whether we are in a place of fear or love, we might experience it in a very different way. But ultimately, I think everyone can sense that there is a shifting going on, right? And of course, depending on whether we're coming to this from a fearful place or from a love place, we will experience this in a very different way. If you come from a place of fear, then you will probably struggle a little bit with this. You will probably experience a little bit of a suffering as you're going through this, because there is a letting go process that needs to happen, right? When we're in transition, individually speaking and collectively speaking, there's something that we're letting go of that's connected to the past. And we're needing to courageously step into something new, into something that we don't know yet, that is being created as we speak. Because we're all creators of our own reality, and we're also co-creators with each other. So that means that we're all currently co-creating what we want the future to be. And it's always that way, but when we're in transition phase like that, when there's so many new beginnings happening at the same time, that becomes so much more exalted, that experience, that it's much more in our face, right? It's so much more in our face that we're actually now creating a new future together, right? And so what I recommend, because of course, the future is something nobody really knows, right? I mean, unless, you know, you're very, very psychic and you're very, very highly intuitive to what's to come, which most people don't have that strong of a connection to that part of themselves, even though everybody could be doing that and would be able to have the gift for that. But not everybody's in tune to that completely, right? But I think that since the future gets created in every moment of now, right? I mean, the now moment is really the powerful moment because that's where the seeds are planted for the future, right? And for that reason, it's very important that all of us are very conscious of where we are now and what we're putting out there, whether that's through our thinking, through our communication, through our vibrations, our frequencies that we're engaging in, what we're taking in, what we're putting out, right? It's very important that each one of us is very conscious of how we're engaging with this experience. How are we responding? How we are reacting? How are we meeting these challenges that we're currently experiencing, right? And so I definitely recommend pay attention to your frequencies, pay attention to your level of fear and to your level of love, because love is something that, or I don't know if we want to necessarily call it love, because love is something that people associate with personal love very often. When I talk about love, I really associate it with universal love, with the vibration.
Oh, I get it.
This is right. I mean, you get it, right?
Love.
You get it.
Yeah.
But it's really the vibration of love, right? It's not about me loving you. It's about just the heart opener, right? It's like a heart opener. It's like the joy of love, right? That's really what I'm talking about. And this, it's an allowing and an opening, right? And when there is an allowing and an opening, there is really not much space for fear to be there at the same time. So when we're in fear, we have to recognize that there is a closing off and a holding, right? There's a holding that happens when we're in fear. When we're in love, in a love space, there's an opening and an allowing that happens. So, but it can't happen at exactly the same time. So you're either in a restricted, constructed place of tension, or you're in an open, allowing place of allowing things to flow and to move. And it's important to pay attention to that energetic difference, right? And to allow there to be a conscious relationship to both of these places, because obviously we're going to go through both of it at times, right? I'm not 24/7 in a love space, right? Nobody is.
No.
Unless you really practice being there 24/7 all the time. But if you're a regular human being, you probably go in and out of these places, right? But there is something to say about observing the energy body and observing yourself. When you're experiencing these contractions or these tensions, when are you experiencing these anxieties or these concerns or these fears? What happens in your mind at the time when you're experiencing that? What input did you experience? What came in from another person or from, you know, the internet or the TV or from the outside world? What came in when you started experiencing the contraction or the tension, right? And vice versa as well. What happened up here, your conversation with yourself or with your own energy body, or what the input was when you're experiencing the open space, the allowing space, the love space, right? And to really pay attention to that so that you can steer yourself into these different directions, right? So you can be more conscious in how do you get back to the open, allowing place? How do you acknowledge what is occurring when you're in a fearful place and then get yourself back to a more open love space, right?
So beautiful, Sonia. I really love that. And it's, you know, like you say, it's kind of like navigating, knowing how to navigate, you know, in the ocean when you're back in the day, you were exploring the new lands, you know, some days the seas were rough, but some days the seas were smooth, but you still had to learn to navigate, right? With these cycles, just because, you know, I'm not an astrologer, but I'd love to understand it more. Is there some exciting things with these cycles? Like, I know something, I listened in your video, something about Pluto, and I'm like,
yes.
You know, like,
I mean, obviously,
a little snippet.
If I start talking about the specifics in terms of the planets, it might not give everybody, you know, not everybody knows what the planets represent, right? So I wanted to stay a little bit more general. But what I can say is that there are three different alignments this year. One happened on January 12th. The second one is an alignment between two planets that happens actually three times. The first one was in the beginning of April. The next one is in the end of June. And then this third one is in the middle of November. And then there's a last alignment between two other planets that happens at the very end of the year, in the middle of December. And all of those alignments are basically starting these long cycles, which means that we're basically seeding something new in 2020, right? Because an alignment between two planets is always a seed, a new beginning. So what's exciting about that is, yes, it's a new beginning. That's exciting, right? Because a new beginning is always sort of like a place where you're a little bit like a child, where you're like, woo, something new, right? Like, oh, where are we going? What's next?
You Christmas know? Morning.
Right, like Christmas morning. It's like, ooh, it's exciting. But of course, a seeding also takes time for it to grow and to develop into something that takes fruit, right? So we have to think of it like the cycle of a plant, right? Like when you plant a flower or you plant a tree, you know, it's exciting that you're making this new beginning for this plant and, or for this tree. But in order for this plant to come out of the ground and for it to become a flower or to for you to see something from that seed, it takes time. It takes nourishment. It takes nurturement. It takes, you know, you have to give it plant food and water and sunshine and, you know, all the things that we need to give to a seed so that can grow into something healthy, right? What we don't want to do with a seed is we don't want to get impatient with a seed, right? Because it takes time for that to grow. If you get impatient and you start digging it back out or you start stomping on it, this is not going to help the seed to grow, right? If you don't give it what it needs, if you don't nourish it, if you don't give it the sunshine, if you don't give it the water, if you don't give it, you know, like if we talk about what's currently going on, if we don't give it our vision, if we don't give it our frequency, our higher frequencies, right? Then whatever seed we're planting right now is not going to be able to grow into something beautiful, right? So we need to give it a lot of beautiful, conscious, and I don't want to say positivity, because positivity is not really what I'm saying here. It's really more like giving it nurturement and giving it our very best, right? The best of you and the best vision you can give it and the best actions you can take and the best frequency you can send out, right? That is what we can do for these new cycles right now, right? Because it will probably take 20 years for these cycles to completely be fulfilled and to completely flourish. But it doesn't mean that we have to wait 20 years to see the result necessarily. But, you know, it's a growing, you know, it's just like a plant, you know, isn't going to stay underground until it has its flowers. It will come out of the ground, right? When it comes out of the ground, it's exciting. You know, you're like, oh, there it is. It's coming, you know, but it's not fully unfolded yet, right? But each time it grows, you're already in this place of like, oh, I can see what's going, right? So I think that we need to be patient, you know, we need to be patient and we need to allow ourselves to grow with the times, to grow with the unfolding, and to allow the unfolding to be as beautiful as we can imagine it to be.
Perfect. So it's like, don't get disheartened if things aren't happening, right?
Right. Don't get disheartened if this doesn't happen overnight.
Yes. It's like, you say, you don't just plant the seed and then the next day, you know, unless you're Jack and the Beanstalk, right? But, you know, it's like, it doesn't just all of a sudden flower, right? It's got to have its process. So I love that. I love that you say it's about being patient, giving it all that you can right now. And, you know, in 2 years from now, that might look a little bit different. But, you know, Absolutely. It's like, I really understand your analogy, and I think that's perfect. You're such a good teacher, Sonia.
Oh, thank you.
Is that in your chart? Are you a natural teacher?
I am. I have a Mercury Venus mutual reception in Gemini and in Taurus. And so that makes for a very, very good combination of teaching in a very down to earth kind of a way that's very practical and very understandable and very applicable. You know, because of my Taurus earthiness, you know, it's not just hypothetical and not just kind of like woo-woo, you know, but it has sort of like more of a concrete, like,
I love it. It makes sense. And one of the things that I absolutely love about you, and that's why I was like, oh, universe, you're just so amazing, is that not only are you an astrologer, you are this phenomenal life coach. You're just like a business coach. You do like so many incredible things. And you put this as a package, you know, like you use all your skills for those who choose to want to use all your skills, because I know you can, you know, also do one or the other. I mean, like, why would you not want to have all of your skills as one of your clients, right? So explain to us, what could someone expect having you as their astrologer coach?
Well, that's a great question. So obviously I always start with a reading, because that gives me a starting point to understand my client a little bit better as well, right? And then one of the things that I always say to people is, you know thyself, right? Because the thing is, if you know yourself really well, life gets a lot easier, right? And the best way to know yourself is to first do a chart reading, because the chart tells you everything about yourself that you need to know. But then the other thing is also, once you know your chart, you also would be a good idea to work with the integration process of what's there, right? Because I was saying earlier how, you know, sometimes not everything is integrated yet. Right? Like you don't always own your whole chart, right? Because of conditionings, because of social norms that are happening wherever you were born, or whatever culture you were born into, or religion you were born into, or whatever, right? So the second thing is, you know, learn how to integrate. And the best way to integrate is through life coaching. Because once I've done the chart reading, the way I can support you then is to then help you to really merge what you've learned about yourself and to fully get connected to that and become more whole, right? It's like a wholeness in a sense, right? And to learn how to, one thing that I like to do with my clients is, it's a process, obviously, to do that, right? It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight either, just like what we're currently undergoing as a collective doesn't happen overnight. Also, what you do on an individual level usually doesn't happen overnight. But as you're going through that process, what's really important is to cultivate kindness towards yourself, to cultivate openness towards that process, to not be impatient, to not be perfectionistic about it, to really allow yourself to be human. And that's one thing that I really emphasize in my coaching, in my life coaching, in my relationship coaching, is that I say, you gotta allow yourself to be human. You are not superhuman. You're not just spirit, right? Because on a spiritual level, you know, we're perfect. You know, there's nothing to be changed. On a human level, there are things that we want to learn about ourselves, right? So as a human, we gotta give ourselves a little slack. We gotta allow ourselves to have flaws or to not be perfect, right? And that allowing helps your own evolution. That allowing helps for you to reintegrate and to evolve and to make a progress in your life, you know?
It just sounds so amazing. I think people who get the opportunity to work with you are so blessed. And what a, you know, incredible way to put your gifts into just really serving humanity in an even more profound way. So everyone, if you can, you know,
I'm trying to do a little bit.
I think you're doing a big bit, not just little. You mentioned this a little bit before about the above, what is above is the same as, I might have stuffed that up. Hold on, let me just re-read.
It's above, so below.
Yeah. So that's your motto, you know, to align yourself with the create power of the universe, as above, as below. That to me is so profound. I would love for you to just, I know you, this is like massive. What does that kind of mean?
So it's a little bit what I touched upon earlier already, a little bit with how everything in the outside world, right? Everything that we see, that we perceive, is almost like a mirror of what's already within ourselves, right? So like when I talked about, you know, like how there is a universe in each cell of our body, right? So there is, energetically speaking, whatever is in there, not just on a physical level, but also on an emotional level, on a mental level, on a spiritual level, all of who we are, right? That is something that we get to, it's like there's a relationship or a synthesis between this entity and the outside world, right? And for example, it's difficult to perceive something in the outside world that doesn't exist inside of you, right? So if you haven't cultivated something inside of you, you're also not going to be experiencing that in the outside world. And one thing, there's a really great example that I'd like to give with something like that. So for example, if you think about like tribes that live in Africa, right? Like in the jungle, and they don't have any contact with the outside world. They have a certain experience, right, of themselves and of the world. When people like that get brought into the Western world, for example, and they see an airplane for the first time, right, they cannot actually see the airplane. They cannot perceive that because that type of reality is not in alignment with their own inner reality of who they are and what they connect with internally. Right? So a person, and this is an extreme example, of course, right? But it's just to make a point, which is that a person can only experience something in the outside world that they have already connected with internally. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that. And it's such a, I think, kind of makes people think a little bit about what's really going on in their inside. Yes. Because of what's going on. Because we tend to blame, oh, it's society's fault, or it's, you know, it's my parents' fault, or, you know, we're quite good at blaming and shaming. But actually, like you said, you know, we've got the universe inside of us, and, you know, it's the same as above as below. And it's like, sometimes, because I know one of the things that you also talk about is how we're always learning and we've got to be kind to ourselves. And one of the things within that is about taking self-responsibility and self-care. And so how come that we might struggle with that? Because I know, especially women, right? Not that we're putting anybody in a stereotype, but that self-care part, and, you know, why is it that we need to be kind to ourselves, Sonia? I loved how you explained this to me.
Well, because, see, the self-focus is so important, because if you want to experience something in the outside world that you're currently not experiencing, the best place to work with is right here. Because that, first of all, that is something you have control over and that you have influence over. We don't have control or influence over the outside world, right? Even if we think we do, we really don't. But we do have control over our own responses, reactions, our own thinking. We have responses, we have, you know, how we make decisions. Like, these are the things we have control over, right? Or influence over. And so it's very important to know that whatever it is that you want in life, whether that's a relationship, whether that's a better job, whether that's a better relationship with your family, whether that's a better relationship with your children, the best place to look for that is with yourself first. What is it within you that keeps you from having what it is that you want to have? Because ultimately, we can have everything that we want because we're our own creators, right? But often, there's a barrier between what we want and or what we want to have because of something that's going on internally with ourselves, whether that's from our conditioning, whether that's from a trauma that we've experienced in the past, whether that's from a social limitation that we've picked up on. There's so many reasons why there are blockages that can happen, right? Belief systems, you know, the way we think about things, the perspectives that we have about life. But ultimately, right, if you want something in the outside world, if you want to manifest something in the outside world, the only way to get those things is to start working here on the inside. That's I'm a firm believer of that.
I really agree with you. And I, you know, something that this is why I wish, you know, a lot of the stuff was taught, I should say, in schools. And, you know, it would make for such a different generation of humans in some ways. And I would really love, because this was so beautiful, for you to share, what is your vision for humanity?
Oh, okay. So my vision for humanity, obviously, it might sound a little bit like rose-colored, but I also want to say before I say the vision is that I believe that a vision doesn't mean that it's ultimately going to be perfect. A vision is something that you move towards. It doesn't mean that you necessarily live there, but it's something, it's like a beacon, you know, it's like a beacon that you follow. You know, it's like something at the end of the, I don't know, if you look at the horizon, it's something that you kind of like, you put a point and you go, this is the direction I'm going in, right? So that's kind of, I just want to say that first, you know, because I think that it might sound a little bit woo-woo otherwise.
Woo-woo.
Well, you know, I am a Taurus, so it needs to be down to earth. So one of my visions for humanity is that to find a way that we can really co-create with each other, you know, in the true sense of the word, that we can really, that we do this together, that there's a togetherness in what we want, how we want to see our future, and that we're really collaborating in a big way. And that we also bring out the best in each other, right? Because it's so easy to put people down. It's so easy to judge. It's so easy to point the finger, you know, and it's something that we do as a collective, very much so, you know, and I think it takes time to learn not to do that and to be more self-responsible and to say, no, the buck ends here. Like, this is on me, right? But at the same time, not taking the blame for everything either, but to just kind of like be in a place of like, I don't need to take the blame, but I also don't need to have other people take the blame, right? It's like a no blame zone, basically. And to really allow each other to be their best selves by really seeing the best in each other, right? Because when we see the best in each other, we bring out the best in each other, right? And it doesn't mean that we're not all human and we don't all have our dark sides and we don't all have our stuff, our anger, our, you know, frustrations, our sadness, our grief, and all that stuff as well. We all have that, of course, but it doesn't mean that we have to live in those places, right? And I think what I want for humanity is to be able to bring out the best in each other, to create a world that can make space for diversity and differences, which I think is so important, because if we want everybody to be like we are and accept everything that we accept, then life is going to be so colorless, you know, it's going to be so bland, it's going to be so gray, you know. And I think that the color and the juice and the joy happens through that diversity and through, you know, differences, which, by the way, doesn't mean that we are the same on a very humane level. We are the same, but we're also so different and so diverse at the same time. So it's kind of like both, right? Like really embracing that dichotomy or that oxymoron in a way. We are the same, but we're so different, right?
The uniqueness of each person. Even though we are interconnected, we're the same. Yeah. There's still that uniqueness to each person. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then also a world where people can see each other through the lens of kindness and compassion. You know, because I think that is so important. And that's why I emphasize that with my clients on an individual basis as much as possible, because when you can cultivate that for yourself, that's really the first step. And that is such an important step, because if you can cultivate it with yourself, you can cultivate it with others, you know, and even with people that you don't agree with, even with people that you love to hate, you know, because there are going to be people that will push your buttons out there in the world. There are going to be people that you don't agree with on no level whatsoever, but you can still have compassion for a person like that. You can still be kind to a person like that. That never gets taken away. That's always an option, you know? And I think it's so important that we know how to do that with each other. And then also a world where it's preferable to be completely yourself, authentic and courageously vulnerable. Because I think that's something that a lot of us don't feel like we have permission to be and do. right? To really truly be yourself, to really truly be authentic, to really truly be vulnerable. You know, I think a lot of people have a lot of fears around that. And I think the vision for humanity to be able to get to a place where that's preferable, you know, where that's not out of the norm, where that's actually what people say, hey, yeah, good for you. Yeah, be yourself, you know, like that is a dream that I have for humanity. And that is a vision that I want to hold dear for humanity, for sure.
I told you, everyone, it was such a beautiful vision. Oh, and I think it's just, it's honest. It's what I hope, I really hope and feel that we can see this in our existence as we move into these new cycles that the planets are creating with these seedings that you're, you know, we're talking about. I really hope that this is something within ourselves we can see, that kindness, that compassion, that love, and to be authentic. I just, for me, I'm always cheering on people when they finally emerge as themselves. It's like, yes, there you are. Your soul kind of goes, oh, hello, I know you.
Yeah, because the soul wants that. I mean, I think that the soul really wants to experience this beauty of acceptance and this beauty of love and compassion and this just being fully expressed as yourself. You know, and it doesn't mean that you always have to be positive or happy or always be in your most joyful self. I think it's okay to also have moments where you are not in those places and where you are in grief or sadness or anger or, you know, but to not get stuck in those places, you know, and not tell yourself a story about that, you know, because often we tell ourselves stories about when we're in a place that we don't think we should be in. We tell ourselves these stories, well, oh, something wrong with me, or I shouldn't be there, and why am I still there, and what's going on, and if only I could be this or that, you know. But it's just, you know, if you can just honor where you're at and honor the place that you're experiencing and what you're going through, you know, and give yourself love and acceptance in that moment, these places are just gonna, it's just gonna move through, you know. Everything's just gonna move on and move through. You're not gonna get stuck there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I so do. Oh, yeah. You are just such a delight. Oh, I just love you so much. You're so amazing. And I'm sure people want to connect with you. So I will link it up. But where can people find you? Are you still open for doing people's astrology charts? Like, you know?
Absolutely.
Tell us the goods.
Always, always. I'm always up for doing astrology charts. I love it. I love it. So yeah, I mean, there's several ways people can connect with me. Of course, I have a website, which is you know, one of the ways where you can learn a lot more about my services and what I do and what I offer and everything. Like, I have a membership option where people can connect with me on a daily basis, you know, where they get information daily and webinars and videos and forecasts and all sorts of things. So all of that information is at astrologercoach.com if you're interested in that. But there's also stuff on social media. Of course, I have a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/astrologercoach. Then I have a Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/astrologercoach.soniafrancis. Then I have a Twitter account, which is twitter.com/soniafrancis. And then I have an Instagram account as well, which is instagram.com/astrologercoach. So there's within the social media, there is the information that I give is usually either on a daily or weekly basis, but it's limited. It's not, I don't give everything away on the social media, but I do give sound bites and things. There is a new moon video that I gave for free on my YouTube channel every month. So that's something that you can either access via YouTube or also via my website. And then if you want to dive a little bit deeper or get more information, I suggest a membership option. Or if you want to do a reading, I suggest to just check out, you know, what types of readings are available, because there's anything from like a 25-minute reading to a 2.5-hour reading, anything from like, you know, then there's coaching, then there's tutoring, then there's soul-based astrology courses if you want to learn about astrology. So there's so many options, you know, to engage with me. So I would say just check it out and see what resonates most with you at this time.
I want to do it all, I think.
And some people want to do it all, and some people want to just do a slice. You know,
yeah, so is that an Aries trait? You know, I told you I was an Aries with a Leo moon sign. It's like I want it all. You know, if there's an option.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh! You have a lot of fire. You wanna go straight ahead and do.
The thing is, also, I start something and never finish it. You know, that's my quality. I get what I need. Oh my gosh! I am just so grateful that we got this time. You're so inspiring. Yes. You are incredibly knowledgeable, and you're just such a beautiful light worker inside and out. And we're so blessed to have you guiding humanity. And
thank you.
Was such a huge honor for me. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure connecting with you. I'm so delighted that you were able to watch this video that brought you to me or us together. Yeah, this was delightful.
So we need to thank my mother. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Mom. Yes. Thank you for sharing my video. Yeah, that's
she's
awesome.
She's a little bit crushing on you too. So she's excited.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'd be very, very happy to connect with her, to connect with you, to support you in any way I can. So
I think I might have to shout her an astrology chat or something.
Yeah.
But and for myself, I feel like, you know, I'd love to have you see into, you know, I don't know what to call it. My chart, really? Is that what we call it? So I'll report back, everybody, as well on, I'm sure, how amazing that experience will be. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in and spending this time with Sonia and myself. I know that you've loved it as much as us, and it's always such a joy to be part of your journey. And as you rise with love, remember to keep trusting what the universe is bringing you, and you never know, it might just be the perfect package, just like the universe brought Sonia into my life. So until next time, everybody, peace, love, and blessings. Melissa.